Let's bow our heads. Say, Lord Jesus, give me ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to perceive what your Spirit is saying to me. Amen? We're going to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. And we're going to kind of skip through the beginning of this because there's a lot of very long names of kings. But I'm going to kind of run through this at the beginning so that you can get an idea of the background. Abram rescues Lot is the heading. At this time, Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goim, went to war against Bera, king of Sodom, Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, Shenaber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is, Zoar. All these latter kings joined forces in the valley of Siddim, the Salt Sea. For 12 years they had been subject to Chedorlaomer, but in the 13th year they rebelled. If you don't think that's a tongue twister, are you ready? Verse 5. In the 14th year, Chedorlaomer and king allied with him went out to defeat the Raphaites in Ashtaroth, Karnaim, and the Zuzites in Ham, and the Emites in Shaveh, Kiriathaim, and the Horites in the hill country of Seir, as far as El Peron, near the desert. Then they turned back and went to Enmispah, that is Kadesh, and they conquered the whole territory and the Amalekites as well as the Amorites who were living in Hazeron Tamar. 8. Then the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar, marched out and drew up their battle lines in the valley of Siddim against Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, Tidal, and king Goim, Arphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar. 4 kings against 5. Now the valley of Siddim was full of tar pits, and when the king of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, some of them men fell in them, and the rest fled to the hills. The 4 kings seized all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, and all their food. Then he went away. They also carried off Abram's nephew Lot and his possessions, since he was living in Sodom. Now how many know, take a break, or I need a break. How many know that the church would have a problem right there? I'm talking about the Christian church of 2014. Why? Because they would say, if the guys from Sodom and Gomorrah fell in tar pits, good enough for them. Yes or no? Yeah. Okay? Because they're Sodomites, they should definitely be killed and gotten rid of. And if you had a relative living in that city, too bad for them. Yeah. Now I'm asking you to check this out, because there's a reason that we are looking at this. And it's not to judge those that are in some kind of lust. Amen? It is to get God's perspective. If you and I get God's perspective on what's going on in Genesis 14, we will adapt it to the house of prayer for 2014 and 15. Oh, I should have heard an amen. See, otherwise we're going to be learning by what we have in tradition. Tradition says, get rid of the garbage, eliminate them, and don't even pray for them. Oh boy, we hit a brick wall there. Did anybody feel the brick wall? Why am I saying? Watch what God says to do, okay? 13. One who had escaped came to report this to Abram, the Hebrew. Now Abram was living near the great tree of Mamre, the Amorite, a brother of Eshcol and Aner, all of whom were allied with Abram. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out 318 trained men born in his household and went in pursuit as far as Dan. During the night, Abram divided his men to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as Horbah, north of Damascus. He recovered all the goods and brought back his relatives, Lot, and his possessions together with the women and the other people. Take a break. Why would God say to Abram, save your nephew? And risk all the people that are under you to restore the wealth of the Sodomites and all their people? Why would God do that? See, the Christians want to get rid of all those that don't match their idea of healing and perfection to those that are worthy according to their standards. That's religion. This is the word of the Lord. This is the will of God. The will of God is for you to stretch a little. And if you've got somebody that's in some sodomy, garbage, or any kind of adultery or any kind of lust, rejoice. God has a plan to what? Freedom. Huh? Freedom. Really? They don't deserve it.
Neither did I.
Thank you. Neither did I. 17. After Abram returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the king allied with him, the kings of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh. That is the king's valley. 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, who brought out bread and wine? He was the priest of God, Most High. And he blessed Abram, saying, whoa! It would not fit the church to have a blessing on those who saved the Sodomites and gave them back their families. Why is God sending his high priest to bless Abraham in such a horrible picture according to religion? You say, what's wrong with religion? It's full of tradition instead of being full of the love of God. John 3:16 says God sent whom to the cross? He sent his very son to save, and because he loved the world. He doesn't hate people that are stuck in sin. He loves them. It's about time the church starts loving them. Watch what the priest of God, the Most High, says to Abraham. 19. And he blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who delivers your enemies into your hands. Huh. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. 10% he gave him. The king of Sodom said, Abram, give me the people and keep the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and have taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the thong of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abram rich. I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and share that belonging and that share that belongs to the men who went with me, etc. What am I pushing? I'm pushing you to go higher than you've ever gone before. I'm pushing you to prepare for those that he will bring in that need deliverance and healing. I'm pushing you to those that are stuck in some forms of lust. Not to judge and condemn them. Not to find fault with them, because God Most High wants to set them free, and he might use you and me. Amen. And if he does, and when he does, you need to be able to love them unconditionally. Not with your old ideas. Not with your old patterns or the example you may have seen or heard. Our God is a lover. He loves his creation. Just because some are stuck in deception doesn't mean that you and I doesn't have some deception still in us. Okay? And it's not a criticalness that I'm giving you. It's an awareness. I want you to see God's love for his creation. Even if they got perverted. Even if they got deceived. How much deception do you and I have? When we throw out all kinds of judgments and find fault. My God, how ugly that is. And it's God saying, look, didn't I send Abraham to rescue Lot? Okay. One more. Chapter 15, verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Isn't that cool that Abraham has a vision? Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your friend or your shield and your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offsprings be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. We'll stop there. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Say, can I do the same as Abram? Can I believe the Lord for his promises to me? And it can be registered to me as righteousness. It's up to me to believe. And I can choose to believe beyond my experience or beyond the circumstances of my life. Or those that I hold in my heart. Those that are stuck in deception. Or perversion. It's not important. From God's perspective. He can deliver them. And he wants to. He wants to set them free. But first, he's got to set me free. So Holy Spirit, you've got a job. Counsel me. Comfort me. Awaken to me. Your plan to set the captives free. And Lord Jesus, be the King of my life.
Be the King of my spirit.
And rule and reign to those that are broken. A gift of love coming from me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.